It's Monday, May 7th, 2012. I'm Alex Jones, and this is InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight, more details emerge on the shocking U.S. Army manual that details how American citizens are to be indoctrinated into re-education camps inside the U.S. Leaked document also describes rules on isolating political prisoners and forced labor.
Attention, attention, attention. American forces are here to help. Please remain calm. We will not tolerate civil disobedience.
Then, watch what you type. Surveillance cameras so strong they could zoom in and read text messages. Plus, Romney operatives caught handing out fake ballots in Nevada and Maine, and Asia Times journalist Pepe Escobar joins us via video Skype to talk about the new socialist president of France and how a new Putin presidential term throws NATO's plans into disarray. All that and more next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
First off tonight, we're seeing big changes all across Europe, at least on the surface. They're running from the arms of the so-called right-wing Sarkozy in France into François Hollande, the socialist that says he's going to take people making over €1 million a year and tax 75% of their wealth. That's exactly what Warren Buffett in the United States and other globalists have been calling for at the Bilderberg Group that he's a member of. They want to take the upper middle class and new riches money and transfer it in banker bailouts to the elites. That's exactly what they've been pushing for. And this will only further bankrupt France. We're already seeing a big exodus out of France to other countries because of this. Well, the globalists, the billionaires, they've already written the laws in Europe and in the U.S. to exempt themselves. That's why General Electric doesn't pay taxes to speak of. Google doesn't. You pay billions of dollars to ship General Motors, Cadillac, and Volt factories to China. This is how it works. It's all a scam. And he is a big, fat globalist in every way. We have an article at InfoWars.com by Paul Watson breaking it down. Meet the new boss. French president is another Bilderberg stooge. You see, all this news media I listened to this weekend when it was announced he'd won was, well, the French owe all this money. Oh, they're bankrupt. But he's just going to tax the rich. And they've done the number. If they took all of the mid-level wealthy people's money in France, it wouldn't pay for anything. Not even a year of spending. It's about destroying any independent wealthy groups. And the system knows that. And the media keeps acting like Europe and the debt in the U.S. is owed by us. That is a small part of it. And I'm not for the social welfare state because it makes us dependent. That's why these finance oligarchs do this. So Hollande claims he's at war with finance capital. He's not at war against the crony capitalist. The insiders, he's financed by them. He's at war against independent wealth, and that's what's really happening on that front. And it is extremely creepy to see people running out of the arms of one controlled crony system into the arms of another. Same thing is happening in Ireland. Same thing happening in Spain. They've just had elections in Germany. Merkel's in a lot of trouble in the parliament. They're putting extreme leftist, extreme right wing in, but all controlled at the end of the day in Greece. Very serious development. Now, shifting gears to brainwashing.
You like naked body scanners and TSA on the streets because of the horrifying underwear bomber, part of the naked scanner rollout? Well, get ready because part two is here. Even more sophisticated and more scary. A new underwear bomber. But wait, there's more. This new underwear bomber is more sophisticated, like the Phantom Menace Osama bin Laden. They didn't actually catch him. They caught the firecracker. But thank goodness Homeland Security's taking over Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, to keep us safe from this deadly threat. So everyone begin shaking in fear, the new American pastime.
You've we've seen all this hype about how Al-Qaeda's been defeated, the new enemies, the American people, thank God for Homeland Security, intensifying the takeover and giving themselves no-bid contracts. Well, CIA thwarts new Al-Qaeda underwear bomb plot. They say that was just as sophisticated and deadly as the last, seeing the thing that wouldn't even explode, that the drugged idiot had in his pants, and that witnesses saw the U.S. government get him on the plane. And then later, on C-SPAN, the Undersecretary of State admitted an unnamed agency ordered them to help get him on the aircraft. It's not clear who built the bomb. Maybe Easter Bunny. But because of its sophistication and its similarity to the Christmas bomb of 2 years ago, counterterrorism officials, known liars, suspected it was the work of a master bomb maker. Oh, a master bomb maker. So see, TSA, who now we learn doesn't get background checks, they want felons. They've got to grab your wife's breast and go in your baby's diaper. And, of course, 200 plus robberies a week out of your bags just at JFK. They've got to do that because Al-Qaeda got a better chance of being killed by a honeybee sting or falling, hitting your head in the shower, but it doesn't matter. It's fun to get scared of terror. It's fun. We shouldn't get scared about the black uniforms, the face scanning cameras, the government taxation, government killing 260 plus million people last century, 10 million plus already in the last 12 years, this century. No. Look, it's scary. Underwear bomber. He's black. It's even more scary. He's going to get you. He's gonna get you if you don't take the vaccines. Thank goodness they're saving us. Oh, from another plot. And, of course, the White House spokesman under Bush had to admit that they would issue fake terror alerts, and so did Governor Ridge. He wrote a book and said, yeah, we'd issue fake terror alerts for the election, and Obama's doing it again. The AP learned that the thwarted plot last week, but agreed the White House and CIA request to not publish it immediately because the sensitive intelligence operation was still underway. Oh, the White House didn't want to spike the ball, like Obama said when they killed the Loch Ness Monster. I mean, no, they threw him in the ocean with the Loch Ness Monster, Bin Laden a year ago, and other fables about Rumpelstiltskin. This time now, they waited because of the sensitive nature. It's scary. Scary sometimes. Thank goodness all over Texas where I live, TSA is now running warrantless checkpoints. Because, I mean, Al-Qaeda could be anywhere. We've got to have random checkpoints because bombers wouldn't just pull into a checkpoint and blow people up. No. Look, oh, my gosh, land of the free, home of the brave. Just get rid of it. Get rid of all my freedom. It's scary. Shifting gears, since we broke that news last week of the declassified Army document for re-education camps for political dissidents inside America, we've had a chance to really go over the 327-page document with a fine-tooth comb, and it's got slave labor in it for U.S. citizens and processing us with our Social Security numbers into the slave camp. This is just, oh, well, par for the course now. You know, the CIA director says they're operating domestically, which is illegal, and they're spying on the American people through their iPhones and other devices without warrants, but that's okay. Now we're going to be taken to the re-education camp. So yesterday it's the TSA groping your children and your wife, and now the system is coming after us physically to throw us in the re-education camps. But first they'll collapse society. They admit part of it will be economic inside the re-education camp. You know, people will be there as refugees, but they'll also be the political area where you're actually locked up as prisoners. I think that's pretty darn important. Speaking of re-education camps, the military itself is under incredible brainwashing and manipulation and is finally starting to wake up per capita more than any other group. We have another report here out of WorldNet Daily reporting on a purchase bid put out by DARPA, where DARPA is saying they'll give people incredible investment of hundreds of millions of dollars, basically, if people can bring them proposals for super high-tech chips to be implanted into the troops. And I've actually talked to military, including people in my family. The military is already getting chips in the officer class and others, and that is classified. So very, very serious news on that front. We certainly are in a 21st century technocracy that's being established. And here's another report from the Daily Mail that integrates into the microchip report. All over the U.S. and British news, they tell you every day, hey, you are being watched. You know, better watch what you have to say. And here's the headline. Watch what you type. Surveillance cameras so strong they can zoom in and read text messages. Well, the government's already reading people's text messages illegally, and it's amazing. Another powerful article out of WorldNet Daily today, and we actually did a report on this last year. They allow people to have Facebooks calling for killing George Zimmerman. And they have Facebooks showing the most wild stuff you can imagine. But our supporters, InfoWars.com supporters and others, well, we've had our Facebooks deleted before. We've got a bunch of accounts that fans have set up and turned over to us over the years with millions of likes. Our main is the Alexander Emmerich Jones channel. And by the way, it has the wrong spelling of Alexander Emmerich Jones because the fan used the Wikipedia spelling of my middle name that's incorrect. People always ask, which is it? Well, whatever. The point is you can like us over there if you want to help get that out while we're still on Facebook. But a pedo book, which is basically what Facebook is, they allow people to call for killing George Zimmerman. So does Twitter. But if you want to talk about liberty or patriotism, you get shut down. Well, now Facebook shows kids raped, sodomized. That's the headline. And there's a warning that the report contains graphic details of sexual abuse of children. And it appeared in numerous locations on Facebook. WorldNet Daily immediately reported images of child pornography and child sexual abuse. The FBI censored screenshots published are among the mildest of those found. And it is unbelievable. Unbelievable what is on there. And having three young children, it makes me feel extremely violent. And by the way, HBO's rolled out a new comedy series where it shows five-year-old girls performing fellatio on giant sex toys. But CPS, on a fake tip by a neighbor, will come and take your children. And, of course, CPS is five times more likely, according to Justice Department's own numbers, to be abusers, including sexual abuse. In fact, that's even higher. And it's just unbelievably criminal what this government has become and what it does. And going to the FBI, there are some good people low level, but DynCorp Halliburton has come out, run giant child kidnapping rings, and don't get in trouble. So WorldNet Daily did a good job reporting on this, but it just makes me sick. By the way, I want to shift gears into another report here. This is out of the Daily Mail, and I've told you about this for years. They sell whole babies, ground-up babies, and pills. A lot of the top cosmetic makers are getting melted down babies. You know, PepsiCo has admitted that they use fetal tissue in their flavoring. And federal regulators have ruled that shareholders can't stop that or demand that that stops. So this is like the golden child or something, where the devil's trying to get the golden child to, you know, eat something unclean. I mean, this is really evil. Thousands of pills filled with powdered human baby flesh discovered by customs officials in South Korea. You know, if we buy slave goods from China, we then get deindustrialized. And if we have 52 million abortions in this country since Roe v. Wade, we then become garbage as well. When you treat human life like garbage, there is a quick slide to the bottom. And all of the blessings of liberty go out the window. We are a rotten, decadent society, and the corrupt are feeding off those of us that still produce and still work hard. But undoubtedly, this society is going to go through some very tumultuous times in a series of collapses before people finally get their morality back. But it's going to take desperate self-preservation for people to understand that every ancient society went through these decadent cycles, and that's why morals were then brought in and promoted. And then the country or the nation state becomes incredibly profitable and powerful again, and then people become decadent slobs, and the cycle continues. The next article is from InfoWars.com. Romney operatives caught handing out fake ballots in Nevada and Maine. Attempts to divide and disrupt official Ron Paul delegate slates. Romney sends in lawyer that stole election for Bush in 2000. So there is all sorts of chicanery going on, and the media is going to spin this that Ron Paul's trying to steal with the delegates the popular vote. Listen, Ron Paul won Iowa. That's now been admitted. He won Maine. That's been admitted. They've basically admitted he won Nevada and other areas. They stole the early states so they could say he wasn't a front runner and have shoved Romney in there. So I think it's great that Ron Paul is going to disrupt the convention and go in there and try to inject some sanity. But we've got the video in the article. It's pretty amazing to watch the footage of all of this. Now, we've warned you about this over and over again. So right now, I want to go to a clip of candidate Obama 4 years ago saying to the San Francisco Chronicle on video, we're going to bankrupt coal. Now, remember, that's all cute when you're trendy and stuff until you realize that that's 51% of our power. And when you understand China builds three a week, we don't get three new ones a year. And then you understand that General Electric and others are exempt from the rules because they wrote the new regulations. Congress said, we're not going to pass a law. You can't do this. Obama said, I don't care. I'll launch wars if I want, and I'll shut down power plants. They've told us we're going to have a 80% increase stepped up over the next 2 years of our power bills in Austin. And they said it's for the earth. No, it's for the bankers. It's just a corporate tax. There's more than one way to tax you. These bankers, these globalists get your money directly through government scams. And here's the headline, sky-high electric bills, courtesy of Obama's EPA war on coal, and it has already begun. Here's a quote, under my plan on cap and trade system, electricity rates would necessarily skyrocket, candidate Barack Obama. Here's another one of his quotes from the San Francisco Chronicle. So if somebody wants to build a coal power plant, they can. It's just that it will bankrupt them because they are going to be charged a huge sum for all that greenhouse gas they are emitting. Oh, really? Carbon dioxide? Nothing comes out of the new plants but carbon dioxide and water vapor. They're not worried about Fukushima still melting down or GMO. No. Let's just shut down the power plants. Let's just shut down America. That's the globalist plan. Here's the clip.
Obama hit struggling Americans with energy rate hikes. Following Barack Obama's vow to bankrupt the coal power industry, Americans are set to be hit with a wave of utility bill hikes as draconian EPA regulations drive up the cost of energy.
So if somebody wants to build a coal power plant, they can. It's just that it will bankrupt them because they're going to be charged a huge sum for all that greenhouse gas that's being emitted.
The Obama administration's crusade against coal-fired power plants, which was launched on the back of discredited junk science about hyped global warming threats, has little to do with improving the environment and everything to do with lowering living standards by creating artificial scarcity. The EPA has now listed as harmful carbon dioxide that is part of the life cycle of the planet. New EPA rules dictate that utility companies will be forced to spend an initial outlay of $800 million to conform with regulations that mandate harmful emissions be reduced under the Clean Air Act. And yet power plants supplied by General Electric, one of Barack Obama's biggest campaign contributors, have received an EPA waiver and will not be subject to the new regulations. The new rules will exacerbate the problem of rolling blackouts, warns Donna Nelson, head of the Texas Public Utility Commission. Nelson said, quote, I have no doubt in my mind that this rule will result in reliability issues and rolling outages in Texas. Obama's strict enforcement of draconian EPA regulations has led to new clean-burning coal-fired plants being mothballed and other existing ones being shut down, which has in turn led to Texas and other states becoming energy dependent. All of this, of course, will lead to significantly higher utility bills for U.S. citizens who are being assaulted with more and more expenses, even as the threat of a double-dip recession lowers living standards.
And that's a report we did, 8 months ago when we were first launching InfoWars Nightly News. And now we see the continued effects. And a lot of people are like, hey, it's for the earth to make General Electric more money and massively increase power prices. And it's for the earth to ship with tens of billions of your taxpayer money. You paid to ship most of the manufacturing facilities and the new factories they were going to build here for General Motors overseas, Eastern Europe, China, Brazil, and Mexico. How do you like that? That's globalist sabotage. Thank you, New World Order, for all you do. And the sucker yuppies, they like it. They want to thank you for the increases in cancer and all the autism and everything else. They love you hurting them. Thank you, New World Order. What you're doing is so sweet and so wonderful. We're going to go to break here in a moment and come back with Rob Dew, our reporter, interviewing Pepe Escobar on Mr. Hollande, the new savior of France, who will make sure the taxes get raised to pay to the offshore bankers. So that is coming up. But I thought I'd give you a quote by another extremist, Mahatma Gandhi. To deprive a man of his natural liberty and to deny him the ordinary amenities of life is worse than starving the body. It is starvation of the soul, the dweller in the body. That's why the dungeon keeper globalist, everywhere they go, love abusing children, having giant prisons packed with people, solitary confinement, torture, and then factories. Those prisons are factories to release people that have been turned into criminals. But it's more importantly about carrying out that evil, enjoying that torture, that satisfaction that dark and wicked people get, that endless energy they have to commit crimes against humanity. And that's what we stand against. A great storm is coming. If you think the stuff you've seen is bad, it's just the forefront of it. The real center of it has not even gotten to us yet. The true maelstrom or squall. And we are facing a dark age. I mean, the language is imploding. The culture is in deep trouble, as you can see everywhere. Degeneracy of every type is just expanding rapidly. Facebook is pushing sites that have been complained about for years, you know, just pushing vile stuff. And it just shows the globalists are force-feeding us cultural death, so we'll stand down and go under this horrible social engineering. And again, I've developed the research that already been done by other historians and anthropologists, but integrated it. You have inbred elites who inbreed and become psychopathic and sadistic, which is some of the byproducts of interbreeding. And then you add in the formation the across-the-board syphilitic nature of worldwide elites in the last 300 years. I mean, syphilis was in almost every elite family, in almost every male, and most of the females. And you literally have so psychopaths with syphilitic brains developing the New World Order strategy set up in Europe 160 years ago, centered in London. And now you understand why this is so insane and so crazy. Syphilitic inbred brains came up with this and bought the best and brightest scientific minds to implement the plan. So basically what we're seeing implemented is a nightmare of inbred syphilitic individuals. And that's why it's so off the charts. And non-inbred, non-psychopathic or sadistic people are blind to it. And I've given you this analogy many times. To dodo birds, the sailors, a lot of times you'd run out of food, starving. They pull up on the, you know, island out in the middle of nowhere. And there's these big, fat, juicy birds running around who'd never seen humans. And they just would walk right up to the sailors. The sailors would club their heads and barbecue them. And that's basically what Westerners are like. We went through all this tyranny, all this corruption. People fought for basic liberties. It developed. It flowered. It created wealth. We became decadent. And now, you know, they're like, yeah, we're building camps for you. We're going to torture you and forced labor you, slave labor. That's freedom. And, yeah, we're watching you. And, yeah, we're setting up checkpoints on the highways. And, oh, Alex, you think you won't fly to get away from TSA? They've announced they're in Dallas, Houston, San Antonio. They're coming here. And they're like, we're going to set up checkpoints. And if you go to a public event where you drive down the highway, we're going to pull you over, we're going to search your vehicle, and we're going to touch you. This is a sacrament to us. We're going to show you we rule. We are in control. And it's just old-fashioned, we're getting in your space, it's happening. And that's getting you ready to be arrested and put in the truck. And they now admit that. And they'll do that after they blow up some stuff and pose as saviors. And, you know, I mean, that's down the road. They want to roll the camps out first as for the homeless people in the Depression, as we said they would. The Emergency Centers Establishment Act breaks that down. But all of you that think you're serving this and think it's cute, because I run into yuppies that go, so what if all that's going on? I'm having a good time. You think you're getting ahead? No, you're not. You have turned your back on humanity. You are the manifestation of a rotting, imploding society.
Attention, attention. American forces are here to help. Remain calm. We will not tolerate civil disobedience.
Before we go to break, it's gut check time. I told you that they were developing a secret program to arrest political dissidents in this country. They were training the military and police for urban warfare and pacification of the citizens and takeover of government. I've been telling you this for 15 of my 17 years on air. I learned about this when I got on air because police and military contacted me who were patriots and said, do you know this is going on? Now all of it is out in the open. But none of it is breaking through and becoming a mainstream media issue. We need to force this information out because there's an acceleration, the likes of which I've never seen, in the buildup towards implementation of what you will call, or what I would call, a hot martial law. We've been in the beginning stages, the Cold War buildup of this giant system. But if I had a graph here in front of me to dead reckon it going back to the mid-1990s and this covert program of military behind the scenes with police and surveillance and all this, it was down here slowly growing. Okay. And you get up to 2001, it starts skyrocketing, and now the graph goes about 300 feet in the air. You know, the last 15 years or so, it only goes a few feet and starts going up. And now it's just like a rocket. So they're accelerating this, pouring billions a month into it, getting the prison guards ready. The purchase orders are all public. And it's the same plan they hatched in the 80s. To arrest political dissidents and put them in camps. And now we learn it's re-education of conservatives, libertarians, patriots, people that don't want world government. But it'll be across the board, anti-war activists, you name it. So here is a clip from Rex 84 section in Police State 4, total enslavement, with Oliver North being questioned about it in Iran-Contra.
Up on screen are photocopies of the Miami Herald, and this goes back into the 1980s, when they had congressional hearings dealing with shadow government and martial law. There's the headline, the secret government. And it talks about secret summits, a plan to take over the government. And it shows the people that were in charge of the continuity of government, Dick Cheney and others. And then we have a congressional hearing where we have Congressman Jack Brooks and others during Iran-Contra bringing up the secret plans, and they're told by Congressman Inouye that that can't be discussed. It's a national security issue.
In the 1980s, the concentration camp program got a big boost.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman.
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir.
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe it was.
I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. We wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the chairman. But the truth of the matter is that, yes, you do have those standby provisions, and the plans are there, and the statutory emergency plans are there, whereby you could, in the name of stopping terrorism, apprehend, invoke the military, and arrest Americans.
So when we see the new documents coming out about re-education, torture, slave labor, that is unprecedented. But it's all part of a system whose roots are more than, well, three decades old. And it's time for people to realize we're in grave danger. We always knew this takeover would happen during a controlled economic collapse, the verge of new giant wars. Now is the time to get this information out, because if we expose it, they're not going to be able to roll it out later when they stage the crisis. I mean, they talk about how they're going to suppress people speaking out politically in the camps and how dangerous it is for us to speak out. Use the power of free speech we have now while we still have the internet. They got the cybersecurity takeover of the web, all this unfolding right now. They're moving on every front to clamp down right now because they know we have power. They know we're aware of their criminal activities. They know that we're waking up. If we didn't have power, they wouldn't be trying to set all this up. We have a chance to turn this back. Most of the military I talk to is awake. Most of the police I talk to are awake or waking up. That is encouraging. But that only means the globalists are going to accelerate their timetable. Next up, we have two FEMA camps from Police State 4. We also cover FEMA camp admissions for anybody out there who is in denial about this. But not only are the camps now admitted, these are re-education camps where they torture you and use you as slave labor. I want to be clear about the slave labor part.
And 1986, under Rex 84, they opened 12 secret army camps to test if they could keep them secret while they held federal. Now they hold state prisoners as well. Federal prisoners would then be given a few years off their sentence if they agreed to not tell family about it and to go to the labor camps. It is a labor camp, and under the revised military rules, it allows any U.S. citizens to be put in it under forced labor. Here is the Civilian Inmate Labor Camp Program Army Regulation 210-35. It's exactly 30 pages long. I suggest you Google Civilian Inmate Labor Camp Program. Even if you don't have a computer, go to the library. This is important. Now, this is the big piece of news. This is to establish setting up prison labor camps, negotiations with correctional systems representing representatives to establish prison camps, governing criteria, civilian inmate labor camps, policy statement, governing provisions for operating civilian inmate prison camps on Army installations, procedures for establishing a civilian inmate prison camp on Army installations, infrastructure, inter-service, inter-agency, and inter-departmental support agreements, working with local police at the FEMA camps. In 2002, I published my book, Descent into Tyranny. I've been covering it since 97. When it was declassified, but I put it in my book, Descent into Tyranny. This sucker was set up in 1986 at 12 camps. It's since doubled to 24. And from 86 to 97, secretly at labor camps, U.S. citizens, non-military prisoners were worked on FEMA camps. Now, this was beta testing. They would tell them, you'll be given leniency and only serve half your sentence if you agree to labor. The minute you don't, you'll be sent back on these military bases, but you can't tell anybody national security. See, they were testing, can we keep camps secret from local police or get them to work with us? Can we keep camps secret from the media? So for 11 years, they kept this sucker secret. Reagan, Bush, Clinton. And then Clinton declassifies it and says it's a good thing in 97, and they double the number. We had secret copies of this when I first got on air in about 95, 96, with just the cover sheet of it, and people made fun of us and didn't believe it. Then it was declassified. This is from Army.mil. So here it is, the big kahuna. This is just one section of these, training the troops, training the infrastructure, creating the larger cadres to expand the archipelago of gulags. New legislation authorizes FEMA camps in the United States. And it says six major camps across the country with hundreds of sub-region camps. Now, if you watch my films and read the documents we put out, that's exactly what we said the camps are and how they operate, because we reverse engineered all this. The camps are already built. It's when they want to openly announce they're doing it that they then pass a law. And they say, oh, all these shut down military bases that they've been keeping refurbished and putting barbed wire facing in and putting in showers and bunks, and we knew that those were to be the FEMA camps. Because in the FEMA documents and the congressional leaks and from people that worked at the camps, we knew, and we would list the camps. Then we noticed when it was declassified in 97 that the very camps that had been, quote, decommissioned under the base closure, because they'd said back in the 80s under Rex 84 they were going to use the camps in Congress. So we said, you want to know where the camps are? They're old military bases, and they're old POW camps from Italians, Germans, and Japanese.
Now, here are some more clips of the police and military doing checkpoints around the country to condition the public for military occupation, which the Stars and Stripes and Army Times admits is now being established to suppress the American people, along with their pot-bellied shock troops, the TSA.
Whether it's terrorism, riots, or any major disaster, local agencies will be the first to respond. That's why Roanoke City wants its disaster training to be as real as possible. Jeremy Butterfield has more.
It's supposed to look like a riot, and the scene at William Fleming High School had all the elements.
I'm one of the rioters that the guard and the police force had to take down and arrest, and did very successfully.
In this scenario, everyone has a role to play. The rioters were ready to fight back as Roanoke Police, Roanoke Fire, local National Guard troops, and members of the Virginia Defense Force secured perimeters and moved in to make the arrests.
Prior to 9/11, these organizations couldn't communicate and did not work together. They worked to support each other, but not together. And with the recent events of the last 3 to 5 years, we've become very good at working together, which is very important.
You bet. Now, we played the clip earlier of you on a local news station talking about Army checkpoints. The governor found out, thanks to you and others, and canceled it. Can you just, in a nutshell, tell us exactly, specifically, what was going on?
Yes, I can. First of all, I have got a check now. I don't have concrete facts, but I don't think the military has, first of all, any jurisdiction to be checking seatbelts. When you look at the fact of a military unit being out, your daughter, my wife, or someone driving through a roadblock with all of these local officials, the Army, and everybody out there, I think it's just going to scare people to death. I think our local and state officials have the staff when needed to check seatbelts, to do a seatbelt check without the Army getting involved. And I just don't think it's a good idea.
Well, obviously, sir, I don't know if you've heard, but yes, it still violates Posse Comitatus. They haven't completely removed that 1878 law. We know in Mexico and communist China they have troops on the streets. This is a sign of a banana republic of a third world police state. So that we don't want that. But the larger issue here is that they've announced Homeland Security wants to put 20,000 regular Army troops to patrol America. The Naval War College, the Army War College, has said their new job will be engaging us, combat with the American people to stop an insurrection against the banks. So, A, are you aware of that? B, can you tell us specifically what units, why the Army was going to be out running checkpoints?
Well, I got this news late on Friday, and when I got the news, I immediately jumped on it to try to call some local authorities that I knew first to see what was going on. And when I made the call, I found out at that point in time that the governor had already made the decision to cancel this, and which I was very proud of that. But I am not aware of Homeland Security doing this. I did hear that they would be involved in this roadblock issue on last Friday.
So that's part of the preparation. Guardsmen to conduct urban training at Arcadia in April. This is going on scaled back now. It says in this article, going door to door asking if they can search homes looking for weapons. And they practice raiding the local gun shop. And this is for domestic operations. Lieutenant Colonel, I really appreciate you coming on such short notice, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
You bet. I saw this article out of the Daily Times Herald in Carroll, Iowa. Have you seen that?
I sure have.
It's telling us about an urban warfare drill to be held in several towns. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. It's actually a planned training event to provide our soldiers with greater proficiency at what we call cordon and search, which is a mission that, just for a little background, we've deployed nearly 13,000 members of the Iowa National Guard in the Global War on Terror. And the vast majority of those have been in Iraq and Afghanistan. And one of the missions that they perform in Iraq and Afghanistan on multiple occasions is cordon and search, where basically you are trying to get to an area, cordon it off to make sure everything's safe, and then actually search for caches of weapons or other kinds of contraband which could harm American forces and other
countries. Like Fallujah, what we saw in Fallujah.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Exactly. So because of where we're located in Iowa, there are no active duty bases in Iowa, so we kind of have to create our own urban training environments. So the plan on this particular training event was to actually use a small town of about 450 people. The town has actually kind of adopted the unit, which is called Company A, 1st Battalion, 168th Infantry, and they were more than willing to participate in the exercise.
Going through this article, I mean, explaining exactly what they're going to do door to door with the houses, what the checkpoints are going to be simulating.
Sure. When you're talking about cordon and search operations, you've got several different rings of security that you've got to provide in a particular area. And then it's important that people are treated respectfully as you go house to house, as you're looking for certain items, particularly in our experience in Afghanistan and Iraq, looking for weapon caches, whether those have AK-47s, RPGs, rocket-propelled grenades, that is, any kind of ammunition or any kind of improvised explosive devices, et cetera, and our job, when we go on a cordon search, is to locate those kinds of items. And then there might also be persons of interest that we're interested in that coalition forces want to talk to or apprehend.
Well, let's just boil it down to this. I have video of Army and Marines with role players screaming, "I'm an American, please don't put me in the camp," and the military trying to confiscate their firearms. I mean, certainly you've heard the Army Times and the new directive from Secretary of Defense Robert Gates that they will use the National Guard under federal control for civil insurrection. Are you saying you're not aware of that?
No, I'm certainly aware of that, absolutely. But I think you have to look at the role of the National Guard historically. Is that historically, we are used in states for disasters overwhelmingly. And our job is to, number one, be ready for our mission federally, which is to go to war. And number two is to help our fellow citizens here in the United States of America.
The Kentucky National Guard was part of the massive security force required for this weekend's Kentucky Derby. Officials say that 360 Guard members were on hand at Churchill Downs to help support law enforcement efforts for the first leg of horse racing's Triple Crown. Now, the troops took care of crowd and traffic control, provided three choppers and crews for aviation support. Officials at the track said that more than 150,000 fans turned out for the race. Police only had to make 44 arrests.
Did you notice that little report at the end? Oh, the troops are at the Kentucky Derby, running out on the field, stopping people that jumped on the field, as is the tradition, for over 100 years. And every year before that, for the last 5 or 6 years, and the years after that, I watched the Kentucky Derby last weekend. And my parents come over, we cook hamburgers and watch it. We like horses, we don't bet. But it is an interesting spectacle. And an American tradition. And, you know, we're evil Americans, so we like it. And they had troops just lining everywhere. And when they have the NFL draft, they go, "And here come the troops." It's all about getting you used to just military everywhere. And it's everywhere you go, every show, radio shows, grocery stores. I went to the YMCA this weekend, and it's just all these big posters up about the troops, you know, what's going on in YMCA news. And all three panels were the troops, not to actually support the troops, but so the system can say, give your rights up, the troops want it, the troops are going to have a checkpoint for your DWI, hey, you're not against the troops, are you? So the system can sell the takeover of America and attach it to patriotism when the globalists could care less about the troops. Just amazing. Another clip here is the troops confiscating guns in Katrina, going into the high and dry areas, breaking into the nice houses, putting people in handcuffs, blowing off the doors of their safes, and taking their firearms. All the guns will be taken. No one will be allowed to be armed. And the troops passed with flying colors. They confiscated the guns under FBI command. So in case any of you are in denial about this, here is that report.
And then we have the first time the Army got called into New Orleans, going to the high and dry areas with the police and FBI. All the weapons will be taken. No one will be allowed to be armed. And then putting people in handcuffs that had guns, taking their guns.
Today in New Orleans, they got a lot tougher on the holdouts.
Police department, everyone home!
Not only the flooded areas, but New Orleans' driest and wealthiest neighborhoods, too.
Police department!
The police and National Guard going street by street, house to house.
We need to make sure, too, that whenever we knock on doors, people refuse to leave. We need to make note, call it in.
They say there are no orders to use force, just strong persuasion, sometimes entering open houses with guns drawn, and instructions to disarm anyone inside.
You say guns will be taken?
No one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
That happened today in this wealthy neighborhood where homeowners had armed themselves to protect their mansions. Residents were handcuffed on the ground. In the end, police took their weapons but let them stay in their homes.
They were a little bit threatened because our weapons were bigger than their weapons.
For many of the police and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city. This guard unit occupied a church, using it as a base camp. They had to leave a note because they could not get hold of the pastor to get permission.
It is surreal. Yeah, you never expect to do this in your own country.
Brigade Homeland Tour starts October 1st. 3rd Infantry's 1st BCT trains for new dwell time mission. Helping people at home may become a permanent part of active army. And then you read this, the Washington Post reported it, everybody else did. It says, for riot control and civil unrest during a collapse of society. And the Army War College came out a month later and said, yes, we're preparing to engage the American people. So there's that going on. So they have to have troops to take you to the FEMA camps. Washington Post, 20,000 more U.S. troops to be deployed for domestic security. They then expanded and said it won't be 4,000 troops, it'll be 20,000. Now they're saying, oh, it'll be 40,000 regular Army troops. The very troops that were in Baghdad doing gun confiscation, the very best troops they've got. Well, here's another one. Marines admit security force to operate inside U.S. This directly from the Marine Corps' own website. And they did it with role players, practicing confiscating people's guns. Here's another one. Unit learned skills to fight different enemy. And this is out of the American Force Press Service.
Now, this next clip is so incredibly important because a year and a half ago, I sent our reporters, Rob Dew and others, to Chicago for an urban warfare drill where the local police and military worked with troops from Poland and other Eastern European countries. And the role players were Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and school kids that took part of this. And they also had a drill taking them to the local sports stadium. I also sent McBreen and others out last year to Denver, where they practiced taking the children under FEMA to the local sports stadium during an emergency. So the system is training you to live under a martial law. And now in Chicago, the NATO summit, all over the city, they're going to have naked body scanners and are saying, you have no Fourth Amendment. We're going to grope you on street corners. Again, they use all these special events. Now when there's a parade, they say they're going to grope people. Or when you try to go to a high school football game or high school proms, they have TSA groping or TSA trained people. As if, well, the TSA are here. They're allowed to wave a wand. I mean, you know, they don't even pass a background check. That's why they're holy. So they're allowed to do all this to you. I mean, look at all their pedophilia and other crimes. I mean, you know, they're God. They get to suspend the Bill of Rights. That's what's happening here. So here we have a clip of the troops training to pacify the American people, foreign troops. Here it is.
I'm Captain Joe Bright. I'm the program manager for the Surf P program for the Illinois National Guard. I'm here with Mitch Lejak from the Polish Epidemiological Response Center of the Polish Armed Forces. We're here participating in a homeland security exercise. We'll be working on military support to civil authorities as part of a terrorist scenario where they have a biological weapon. Major Lesiak and the Polish Armed Forces have a partnership program with the Illinois National Guard. We do cooperative training and exercises, and it's been very beneficial to both of our services in helping us develop our capabilities. The exercise today and what you'd expect to see will be some terrorist scenarios in which there are multiple casualties. We'll have search and extraction team that will be extracting casualties from different facilities. Those personnel that are extracted would be contaminated potentially with a biohazard. So we'll have a mass casualty decontamination team that will decontaminate them. And then we have a medical triage and treatment team that will provide medical care to them before they're moved by ambulance, if necessary, to a long-term, to a hospital or other type of long-term care facility. You'll see National Guard cooperating with civilian authorities. Typically when we respond, we only fall under a civilian incident commander because we're in the States. We respond to their needs, their requests. We're basically a force provider and bring specific skills to the table to assist local law enforcement and civil authorities in providing the services and protection to the people in their areas.
My name is Major Emil Lisiak. I'm from the Demilogical Response Center of Polish Armed Forces. And we are here with my soldiers to make a next step in our cooperation with soldiers from Illinois National Guard. This cooperation started 5 years ago. Last year we had a big exercise in Poland, near Warsaw, and this year we have a great opportunity to participate in exercise in Chicago. That's a partnership between Illinois National Guard and the Polish. The state of Illinois is a partnership for Poland. So okay. we have good connections, and this is the reason why we train together from 5 years. So here it's 12, and the second group is 10, and they are designated to a civil support team in another place. So we are divided to do groups to learn as much as possible.
Okay, and is it just Polish Army, or are there other?
Yeah,
there,
we have also participants from our Ministry of Interior, from Fire State of Poland, and from Polish FBI, and there are another group from police.
Do you have American forces in Poland? Do you do exercises with them there?
Actually, we have American soldiers, but they have no connections with us because there is special forces, another kind of forces. But we had at least 3 exercises together with our colleagues from Illinois National Guard during the last 4 years.
Okay.
Big exercise, probably, you know, 60 Boy Scouts down there with their scout masters and whoever else wanted to come along. Notice they have them lying face down in the anthrax powder.
It's a very real-life situation.
Everyone lie down in the anthrax powder. And we're going to move you.
Hostages, you are expendable. Please put your face directly in the powder.
All right. Right here. Right here. Yeah, all of a sudden the Polish BOA is participating in this exercise, which they didn't mention at all before that. It was just they're here to observe. They're here to observe. Hey, it's BOA. Bureau of Operational Anti-Terrorism is what I think it stands for. So I don't know. This was a hard one to swallow, watching these guys training with the Boy Scouts. It definitely looks like acclimation. Then you've got, you know, Boy Scouts, which are kind of your perceived civil leaders in the community, being trained, you know, this is what it's like to be a hostage. This is what it's like to be a prisoner.
Well, and really, if you think about it, the Eastern Bloc countries are probably used to situations that are somewhat like this. But who is this acclimation for? Is it for the Polish? Is it for Americans to get used to foreign voices telling them what to do?
You saw the end of that report, didn't you? The Boy Scouts training to take on disgruntled veterans. In case you're in denial, all over this country, they're training the Explorer Scouts to take on the American people, right out of Nazi Germany, right out of Soviet Russia. This is classic authoritarianism being set up in this country, and it's being done because criminals have hijacked the nation. You ignore this information at your intense peril. As for me, I want liberty, and I am standing up against this. And I'm not standing up against it in some futile effort. I've studied history. We have a good chance of beating this. If you get involved and get aggressive in the info war, decrying this police state and this militarization of our country and pointing out that it's authoritarianism and it's not being done to keep you safe. That's why we've got to expose the fact that almost all terror is government-sponsored and staged so they can pose as our saviors. We'll be right back. Speaking of saviors, the new French president. Stay with us.
Have you been to InfoWarsShop.com lately? Express your inner patriot with these brand new InfoWars t-shirts. Say it loud with the InfoWars bullhorn shirt. Or educate the sheeple with the Bill of Rights shirt. Grope the public's mind with the TSA shirt. And with this shirt, you can let the dark side know of the Rebel Alliance's power. All available at InfoWarsShop.com.
Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure, and it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
And we are back. It's InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thanks to Alex for doing the news portion of today's show. And I am here, sitting right next to me, on the other side of the world, on 12 hours away, is Pepe Escobar, who's a correspondent and reporter for the Asia Times. And we just had a great conversation talking about France, which we're going to get into. But hey, Pepe, how's it going?
How's it going, Rob? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's going great. Had a very interesting weekend with France having a new election. But let's get into what we were going to talk about. When I talked to you last week, you sent me an email and you said, let's talk about Baghdad, the Baghdad meeting in Iran, the NATO summit in Chicago, Putin in Russia, and the rise of the BRIC countries. You said it's all interconnected. Tell us how it's interconnected.
Okay.
That's a lot of stuff.
Can you give me 4 hours?
Yeah.
Look, okay, let's start with the Baghdad meeting, because What happened in Istanbul was more or less setting the stage for the next meeting in Baghdad between Iran and the five permanent members of the Security Council plus Germany. There is a very strong possibility of a deal. Many reasons. Number one, the Iranian leadership, now they feel confident that they know exactly what they want because now they control all the instances of power in Iran, including the parliament. So Ayatollah Khamenei, who dictates Iranian nuclear policy, this has nothing to do with the presidency. It's always very important to remember that. The guys who are following his instructions, they feel much more relaxed. And European diplomats who were present at this first meeting in Istanbul say, look, there's a significant change of attitude now. I think both parties now, we feel that we could talk and there is the possibility of a deal. So this could happen in Baghdad. It would include, of course, Iran abdicating from reaching uranium to 20%, which now, until I would say a month ago, this was not feasible at all. And nowadays, there is this possibility. What they want in return is, number one, to be respected as a regional power, no more threats of regime change. They want, especially that they have the right to enrich uranium according to the NPT, the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which they subscribe. And they want to develop a civilian nuclear program. So if they can prove to the permanent members of the Security Council plus Germany that they are doing exactly that, and they don't have a subterranean nuclear military program, which according to the IAEA and U.S. intelligence, they don't at the moment. So the possibility of a deal is very, very real. And the Obama administration will milk it heavily because Obama can also sell, just like Obama has been reselling the death of Osama bin Laden. Now he can, if there is a deal, he can sell, look, I was the president who made a nuclear deal with Iran. So the possibilities are great. Of course, we have to take into consideration what our friends in Israel are planning to do to disrupt this whole operation.
Yeah, they don't seem to be interested in Iran having any nuclear capabilities whatsoever.
Exactly. And of course, considering that there are their rationale for the past few years, in fact, is that Iran is an existential threat to Israel. It's not. It never was. And even the former chief of Mossad has been saying that publicly. No, it's not. And they don't have a nuclear program. They are not an existential threat. So what is it? What is it is that if Iran becomes a nuclear power, even a civilian nuclear power, the nuclear monopoly of Israel in the Middle East is gone. Israel is a nuclear power and is also a military nuclear power. They have more than 200, perhaps 300 nuclear warheads. This is the elephant, the cheetah, panda, you name it, a lion in the room. You know, nobody ever mentions that, but this is true. So, there will be some sort of equilibrium because there will be another nuclear nation, even a civilian nuclear nation in the wider Middle East, in this case, Southwest Asia, right? So, and of course, there will be the elections in Israel in probably in September. We don't know what's going to happen if Bibi Netanyahu will remain in power. If he doesn't, there's a possibility of Israel being a little more, let's say, a more rational player than under Bibi, which they've been doing basically apocalyptic stuff for the past few years, saying that Iran is going to bomb them tomorrow. When what could actually happen is the other way around.
Well, and there's been assassinations in Iran. There's been all kinds of provoking. We're flying drones into Iran that are being captured and retrofitted or re-engineered by the Iranians. So, you know, we're not doing anything to really, it doesn't seem we're doing anything to help this kind of peace process. Or maybe we are trying to play both sides is what it looks like.
Look, it's very complicated because the Obama strategy, the way he's been selling it is, it's basically lots of sticks, and if the sticks work, there will be some carrots afterwards. Which, in diplomatic language, in fact, a lot of people, including myself, we have interpreted this as the rollover and die diplomatic strategy. You know, Iran has to accept everything that U.S. says that they have to do, and then We're going to start discussing about alleviating some sanctions, not extinguishing the sanctions. And Iran is saying, no, we sit at the table, we propose something, you propose something, we get a deal, and then the sanctions are out of the picture. Because then we will prove to you that this is only a civilian program. And there's absolutely no, these sanctions are meaningless. And this, so far, the Bush administration, of course, and then the Obama administration, they haven't listened to this line of thought. And now they're probably reevaluating their possibilities, especially because what we just mentioned, the possibility of an electoral gain for Obama if a deal is actually reached, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then how does this tie in with the NATO summit in Chicago? I don't know if you've been reading in American papers, but they've created evacuation plans for the citizens to move out of Chicago. They're not going to allow any protests. They've got missiles on tops of roofs with shoot to kill orders and no fly zones. I mean, it is like they're turning Chicago into Baghdad almost. And
in fact, exactly. Maybe this is an exercise of NATO turning Chicago into Kabul of Baghdad and see if their new techniques are going to work in an urban environment. Considering that they don't work in Afghanistan, right? Against Taliban or Pashtun organized guerrilla. This is completely absurd. You know, first of all, what is NATO going to do in Chicago? Basically, they're going to say what they said at their latest summit in Lisbon in late 2010, which is basically, we are the new global Robocop. Mm-hmm. The global cop. We follow United Nations Supreme Council, Security Council mandate, or maybe we can even bypass it if the U.S. tells us to do so. NATO, we should never forget. NATO is the European arm of the Pentagon. So everything that NATO does, well or not well, depends on the Pentagon. Why NATO won the war in Libya? Because Obama signed an executive order in June last year ordering the Pentagon to transfer to NATO all the best satellite and all sorts of intel that NATO didn't have access from their bases in southern Italy. Then they won the war in the next months, mm-hmm. basically. Until then, they were a bunch of incompetent drones, which what they are, basically. You know. So without Pentagon guidance, NATO is nothing. In Afghanistan, most European countries, including France, by the way, which Hollande has already said that he's taking all French soldiers out of Afghanistan by the end of 2012. In most European countries, they also think Afghanistan is a tremendous black hole. It has nothing to do with them, and they want out. They, you know, informally and off the record, they say, this is an American problem. It's not our problem. We have our German, Italian, French troops attacked everywhere that were. We were posted. We're not making any progress. If we leave or we don't leave, this civil war inside Afghanistan will go on forever. So, you know, it's up to the Americas to solve this problem. So, NATO is losing a war in Afghanistan. They won a war in Libya, which was also an AFRICOM war. Mm-hmm. That's the Pentagon African arm. That's also very important.
Libya is actually, that's the stepping stone into Africa, essentially. Because now they're talking about going to the Sudan. We've got this made-up war against Kony.
Right.
You know, there's plenty of ways.
It could be, the pretext could be Kony. There are already special forces in that very sensitive triangle because there's lots of oil and minerals. Uganda. Congo, Central African Republic.
Oh, we're not there for that, though. We're there for a warlord that hasn't been seen in 6 years. That's why we're there, Pepe. Remember that.
A warlord that disappeared into the jungle 2 or 3 years ago, in fact.
Yeah.
You know, he's gone. Nobody even knows where he is. You know, and he's left with maybe 200, 250 guerrillas. It's cost in the jungle. They don't have access to weapons for that matter. So this thing is over. It's practically over. But of course, we need we in the West always need a pretext when we go to black countries or brown peoples, mm-hmm. as my friend Vijay Prashad usually calls most of the third world, right? So that's still the problem. But in terms of AFRICOM, Now they can have, if they want, tomorrow, in fact, a base in Libya, probably in eastern Libya, in Cyrenaica. NATO is controlling the Mediterranean, almost everything except Syria and Lebanon. But they are on their way. Sooner or later, they'll find a way to get into Syria. Not now, because they are trying to sabotage the Kofi Annan plan. So it's going to take a few more weeks or months, you know. But then if this thing doesn't work, NATO will find a way to get into Syria. So NATO is, for all practical purposes, the global police. It started in Yugoslavia, went to Afghanistan, Libya, and you know, via AFRICOM, which is married to NATO in a sense because they share the Mediterranean. They will be in Central Africa soon in large numbers. So this is what they'll be talking about in Chicago. And expect these lofty declarations by NATO Secretary General Rasmussen, which is an absolutely lousy Danish politician, mediocre, you know, his limelight. Was to become Secretary General of NATO. And the Russians, very, very important. There is a mechanism inside NATO called the NATO-Russia Council. They meet periodically and obviously they clash because the Russians say, look, when are you going to stop trying to invade our borders or to put missiles in Georgia or in the Ukraine or whatever? So, but they, at least they're still discussing. Russia won't be in Chicago. This is not a very good sign. Why? Among other reasons, because NATO is going to discuss the expansion of the missile defense system. And this means, missiles in Turkey, which is part of NATO, the eastern arm of NATO, possibilities of Georgia getting even more integrated into NATO. NATO troops are in Georgia all the time. I was discussing this with a Georgian last week, in fact. So for all practical purposes, Georgia is already attached, is a kind of annex to NATO. And the Russians are fuming. And guess who's back in town as president as of today, Monday? Vladimir Putin, which, as we all remember, destroyed any possibility of Georgia becoming an actual part of NATO in that 2008 war. We all remember that.
All right.
So Putin against NATO is going to be something really, really hardcore to watch over the next few months. And supposing that Obama is reelected, over the next 2 or 3 years as well. If we have Mitt Romney as president, then the clash between NATO and Russia will be so blatant, considering that many of Romney's advisors still refer to Russia as the Soviet Union. So we all know what could happen afterwards.
Well, and as long as they keep the specter of Al-Qaeda alive, and in every one of those cases you mentioned with NATO going in, they always were going in and using Al-Qaeda as the pretext to start these wars. They would start, send those guys in, start up a bunch of trouble, and then go in as under the guise of humanitarian aid and just start wiping people out and bombing people with depleted uranium.
Exactly. And Al-Qaeda nowadays, in practice, according to our best sources in Pakistan, there are no more than 60 or 7 Al-Qaeda trainers. And they're not even in Afghanistan anymore. So there are no Al-Qaeda's left in Afghanistan. They are all in the Waziristans, north and south. So for all practical purposes, what the Bush administration used to say, we are involved in a global war on terror against terrorists. This is over. Yeah. It was never a global network of terrorists. It was always a small group of maximum 200 or 300. And nowadays there are 50 or 60. And they have simply no capability to mount anything. Starting with the region, with the confluence between Central Asia, South Asia, Southwest Asia, the Middle East, not to mention the West or the United States. So this is complete bullshit.
Totally, I agree. And what happens is anytime, you know, NATO needs something to go bully up another country they want to invade, they send that Al-Qaeda troop or a contingent in there, they back them, they supply them with weapons, and they call it peace.
Exactly. It's just like the FBI organizing the Fast and the Furious plot.
Yeah.
It's the same modus. It's exactly the same modus operandi.
Well, we had a new one last week. They had an FBI informant who got a bunch of crackheads who were working for him on these rental properties. And he, and this guy started agitating him up, saying, hey, let's go bomb a bridge. Let's go bomb a bridge. I know the guy to get the explosives from. Hey, we could keep them here in my apartments he was a super for some of these apartments. And then they go and arrest these kids for being terrorists. And they're like, oh, anarchists were plotting to destroy this bridge. And you look at these guys, just a bunch of goofballs who probably got some free beer, some free drugs. And, okay, yeah, let's do it. Why not? Let's do it. Well, you know, we're mad at the government.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that, you got, and so that's a microcosm of what happens all over the world without Al-Qaeda. You know, you got the FBI creating them here in the U.S. and then, NATO using Al-Qaeda to ferment itself in other countries where it wants to go.
Absolutely. And Rob, I think a lot of people in the U.S. remember, it was in 2005, I think, where the Pentagon was saying that Al-Qaeda had a base in the triple border between Brazil, Paraguay, and Argentina. So I went there to do a report at the time. The only Al-Qaedas that I found were Lebanese businessmen selling plasma TVs and laughing about this absolutely stupidity by the Pentagon, you know. But they can do it all over the world. Whenever they feel there is a strategic price, it could be oil, it could be gas, it could be deposing a government. In the case of South America, it could be water. You know, the coming water wars, they will keep using Al-Qaeda as a pretext. There's no question. Sure.
Well, and there's a giant, I think it's in Paraguay, there's a giant reservoir that the Bushes bought a bunch of land Bush was leading the office. They own a bunch of land on top of that. So
yes, it's the largest freshwater reservoir in the underground in the world. It's called the Guarani Aquifer, in fact. Mm-hmm. It's part of Paraguay, part of Argentina, and part of Brazil. And the South Americans have been talking about this for years because they're like, sooner or later, they're going to come here and try to get our water. So, you know, they're getting ready for.
Well, as we're giving the Great Lakes water, we're giving that to the Chinese, so we have to go get it from somewhere else, which makes total sense. And anyway, let's move on to France, which we had a nice little conversation earlier. InfoWars came out with an article this morning, Meet the New Boss, French President is Another Bilderberg Stooge. Now, you differ on that a little bit. You came out with an article, Change Europe Can Believe In. Give us your pitch on Holland, or Hollande, Hollande, and why you think he's a breath of fresh air, and you mentioned that the youth were out there celebrating, and this could be a turning point for France. Why do you think that?
Look, Rob, yesterday at the Bastille, there were like 1 million people in the streets. Most of them, I would say 80-90% of them, they were young. It was the first time since the beginning of the financial crisis in 4 years or over 4 years that people start thinking, look, maybe there is an alternative to this austerity mantra by the European Central Bank, the German Minister of Finance, the Bundesbank, the Germans especially, and what used to be until yesterday, the Merkozy couple, Nicolas Sarkozy in France, Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, which is austerity is the cure for Europe. No, it's not. Austerity is killing not only European industry, European businesses, and European population as well, especially the young population. They will never be able to find a job. Even fresh out of college with a very good education, it's impossible. There's the economy, there's no growth at all. If governments keep adhering to this ultra-strict fiscal pact, as they call it in Germany, there will be no economic activity whatsoever in Europe in 4 or 5 years. And countries will be going down the drain. Their only escape route would be to escape the euro. But still, nobody knows, nobody, not even any collection of Nobel Prize winners in economics know what could really happen if, for instance, Greece or some of the other Club Med countries left the euro. It'll be very good for them in terms of exports, in terms of tourism, in terms of revitalizing their industries. The problem is they will still have a debt, and the debt will be denominated in euros. And how will they pay for this debt? Nobody knows. But still, the young generation, with the election of Hollande, and of course, Hollande is no messiah. He is a member of the elite as well. He studied at the ENA, which is the top administration school in France, is one of the best in the world. He was an economics professor at the Sciences Po in Paris, which is one of the best political science faculties in the world as well. So he is a member of the elite, and he rose through the ranks of the Socialist Party, which nowadays it's more or less neoliberal, not as hardcore as Merkozy, but it's with a tinge of social democracy. Meaning, we need more social justice in Europe. We don't want to replicate the American model, which for most Europeans is too wild and it's pitiless. In Europe, unlike the US, in Europe, there is a social safety net. The welfare state still works in most of these countries. You know, if you fall ill in France, you go without paying a cent to one of the best hospitals and you get treatment. Imagine this happening in the United States. Out of the question. Unless you pay a fortune. So they want to keep what, especially what the working classes in Europe acquired in terms of rights for these past 30 or 40 years. They want to keep their standards of living. And at the same time, they need to grow. So who's going to pull that off when most of these countries are in deep debt? And also the case of France, right? So Hollande is campaign promises. We don't know if this is going to happen. He wants a 75% tax on the wealthy, which is not going to happen because there's going to be a barricade of the la grande bourgeoisie, you know, the hyper bourgeois in France, or they're going to park their money forever out of the country. He wants more teachers. He wants to enroll at least 60,000 to 70,000 new teachers, you know, boost to education. And he wants to introduce a tax on financial transactions. This explains why the City of London, Wall Street, The Economist, for instance, they've been on an active campaign against Hollande for months, saying that if he's elected, it's going to be a disaster to Europe. No, normal people, average people, the average worker in France, they're saying, no, maybe now we have a chance to keep what we have and start growing a little bit instead of being stuck into austerity. It's, of course, it's too early to tell, but that's the meaning of that explosion of joy in all over France. That's it. So I particularly don't expect that this is going to happen because it's an uphill struggle. Merkel is going to be ultra hardcore with Hollande. They say, look, I'm not going to renegotiate the austerity pact. It's going to be austerity for everybody. So what's going to be Hollande's response? Nobody knows.
Well, what's interesting is when you look at what happened in Iceland, they told the banks to go shove it, essentially, and now their economy, after 2 years, is making a real recovery based on the people getting up and pulling themselves up by the bootstraps. But I don't think you're going to see that in France. I think they're going to say, no, this is our debt, even though the bankers made it. We have this giant bureaucracy, which we were talking about earlier, especially within the European Union, on top of the other bureaucracies that are the ones that are taking the money from the people that could go to these programs, because there is money to provide for people in these instances, because it's not a lot of money and compared to going what it costs to go to war and blow up a bunch of countries and then rebuild them.
Absolutely. And Rob, the money is there, but the problem is the money is with the banks and with the 0.1% of the European elite, which is all of them are in the financial market as well. The problem is the money is not trickling down to productive investment. So even some people inside the European Central Bank and even the former Goldman Sachs bureaucrats who are running the whole machinery now in Europe, including in Italy, they're saying, okay, we need an austerity pact, but we also need a growth pact. So this is what Hollande is going to do. He will try to renegotiate with the European Central Bank and with Merkel some sort of growth pact. Okay, growth, but where is the money coming from the growth? You have to come from especially Germany, German capital. And I'm not sure German capitalists are, they want to finance a sort of a reconstruction of Europe at this moment. And that's the big, big, big if. Let's say within the next few weeks, we're going to have an idea if Hollande will be able to, because Hollande can say, look, okay, so no growth, no productive investment from where the money is. Okay, so we're not going to follow the rules of the austerity pact. And the other Club Med countries, they won't as well. So what are you going to do about it? So he has some margin of maneuver, you know.
Well, after reading Paul Joseph Watson's articles, because I admit I didn't know a lot about Hollande. You know, he's got him supporting the euro. He was a former aide to Francois Mitterrand, who is a Mason, and he's part of the establishment. And one of his advisors is a guy named Manuel Valls, who has publicly called for the European Commission to control the national budgets of EU member nations, which sounds like austerity to me is what that's going to
Yes, and in fact, Valls is being, yesterday they were already talking about Valls as a possible prime minister, which is not a very good idea. The other candidate for prime minister is Martine Aubry. This lady is, let's say, she's more of a true European socialist, social democrat, you know. And she is against hardcore neoliberalism, unlike Valls. So that's another thing to watch. Who Poland is going to choose as his prime minister is going to tell us half the story on how he's going to deal with the Germans and with the European Central Bank especially. But, you know, if he pulls off at least some kind of clause saying, look, let's invest more, let's have a stimulus package all over Europe. And the European Central Bank could coordinate this stimulus package. In fact,
Of course they can. They print it out of thin air.
I would probably suggest that. Why don't you Europeans have our stimulus package like we have in the US and like the Chinese had in China? And sure, it worked for the Chinese as well. So, and the Germans will say, no, we cannot spend anymore. We are afraid of inflation. We cannot print money that we don't have. So this is going to be a real, real war.
I see Hollande as Francis Le Obama. You know, the youth behind him. Oh, it's going to be great. We're all going to get free stuff. And when it comes down to it, that doesn't really happen. The only free stuff are the people who work in government and who are sucking off the system. And I don't see them doing anything for the people. That's my personal opinion. You know, you differed a little bit, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, it's interesting to see how these things happen and how people are duped. I mean, our country was duped into believing Obama was going to be real change. He's financed by Goldman Sachs. He does banker bailouts. You know, he goes, starts more wars. You know, he's supposed to be a peace president. Now he's supposedly getting out of Afghanistan. We'll see if that really happens. We're never going to leave Iraq. That's never going to happen.
And by the way, Rob, the U.S. will never leave Afghanistan either. Huh? Don't forget that 2,000 U.S. troops will remain in Afghanistan after 2014 and keeping three strategic bases.
Right.
Kandahar, Shindand near the Iranian border, and Bagram, which is huge, it's enormous, you know, it's like it's bigger than JFK and O'Hare put together.
Well, what we have to do though in Afghanistan, that's all part of the bringing heroin to the rest of the world project. That's part of our aid to the rest of the world. We all know how that works.
Junkies of the world unite.
Exactly. There it is. Le Obama. Pepe, it's been great talking with you. Thanks for staying up with us late, and we sure do appreciate it. Thanks for bringing us all the information, the behind the scenes of what's going on in Asia and all things in between. It's Pepe Escobar. Thank you very much.
Anytime, Rob. Thank you.
All right. And that's it for tonight with InfoWars Nightly News. I've been your host, Rob Dew. If you are watching this on YouTube, please consider becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. It's very easy to do. We have a 15-day free trial. You can go to PrisonPlanet.tv or InfoWarsNews.com and do that. And it supports what we do. It helps bring all these guests in, all the special things that we're doing, sends reporters out in the field. We are listener supported. We are not supported by the Bilderbergs or the central banks or Ben Bernanke or any of those other people who like to suck off the blood of the working man out there. So we appreciate your support. Please consider doing that. And that's all we have for today. Great show coming up tomorrow. Wayne Madsen's going to be on talking about the Gulf and the mutant shrimp that are there. So stay tuned for that. And with that, I bid you a fond farewell.